A week so with our Eddie Brecky team listener when Big Supremo Scuttlebin Morlachson, a.k.a. Scummo, returned from his highly successful trip to Roma and Glasgow, where his plan, the True Blue Aussie way, True Blue Aussie way, True Blue Aussie way, technology not taxes, went down like several million tons of coal. And the French Supremo confirmed his knowledge. I don't think... I know, arousing Scuttlebem's innate love of country as he defended us all against this slur française, telling us he is big enough to withstand the fact that he is a liar, sorry, accused of being a liar, but True Blue Aussie is not big enough. He will not have these attacks on True Blue Aussie and True Blue Aussie people go undefended as he sprang to our common defence. But Emmanuel to Scummo praised True Blue Aussie and the True Blue Aussie people other than just one True Blue Aussie person whom he said was an untrustworthy liar. And I will defend True Blue Aussie and True Blue Aussies against this outrageous attack on all of us. I am big enough, but the country isn't. But as I said, it wasn't on all of us, it was just on one of us, Scummo. I hope you're not suggesting I would use my country to divert attention from this personal attack, which I am big enough and broad-shouldered enough to bear. It is disingenuous of the French sore losers to suggest an attack on the Big Supremo is not an attack on all True Blue Aussies. Scummo received welcome support from US of the UN of the US of the world Big Supremo Joe Biden Capital, who told Emmanuel to he had been led to believe the French were being kept informed that they were about to be ratted on, leaving Scummo to pick himself up from under a Roman bus. But here I think Scummo may have been telling the truth, as he retorted that he had told Joe everything he had told Emmanuel to, and as it appears he told Emmanuel to nothing, then let's give him the benefit of the doubt that he might have been telling a lie, or might not have been telling a lie, sorry. And although he never shuts his mouth, it's also in his favour that we know he constantly has nothing to say. Then he released, well, leaked, private texts between Emmanuel to and himself, which should guarantee other Supremos are open and honest in their communications with him, as open and honest as he has been with Emmanuel too. Imagine the dilemma faced by our Pacific neighbours tossing up who to support. A neighbour who is intent on dispatching them into the briny, or a colonial fossil which brought them the delights of nuclear bombs and nuclear waste. Tough one. What's that wailing sound drifting across the pollution? It seems to be saying, a pox on both their houses. Oh. There is a kind of relationship between the slur Française and Scuttlebem. I don't think I know from the former, and the latter I know I don't think. Scuttlebem told the world it could reach zero emissions by 2050 without doing anything. Just go on frying the planet to our heart's content and wait for technology, not taxes. Technology, not taxes, to find the solutions. Reminds me of the commentator who mused that the bloke who chopped down the last tree on Easter Island would have said the same thing. Technology will save the day. The conference did adopt a global methane pledge, obviously misinterpreted by Scuttlebem, who boasted he had pledged to increase global methane. May the gas keep bubbling, the coal keep burning, the cattle keep burping, he expressed our commitment. The refusal to cut massive methane pollution provided a major opportunity for the Socialist Party to attack the government fossils. Except... Anthony, we are Socialist Party Supremo and would be Big Supremo, Anthony all being oozy. This is a great opportunity for you to expose the government's refusal to slash climate change pollution. I'm too smart to fall for your trick questions. No, this is a great opportunity to show that we will not make ourselves an easy target for the government. This government and Socialist Party policy strikes a sensible balance between mining and resource interests and pastoral interests. And the environment? What about the environmental interests? Of course, we feel it will improve the political environment. So what will your policy differences be? Well, that is clear, and I have been making that difference clear. His policy, a disaster for True Blue Aussie, is to remain Big Supremo. And my policy, a great policy for True Blue Aussie, is to become Big Supremo. Anything else? What else is there? Glasgow has also seen lots of country support phasing out coal, although the biggest polluters, including the US of, and China and India, and yes, of course, True Blue Aussie, realise it's much smarter to await the technological solution to materialise, technological mirage in the burning desert. Just a bit of a pity that in the middle of all this, as ungrateful Pacific neighbours complained we were not doing enough to prevent them sinking into the briny amid other climate effects, for goodness sake, what business is it of theirs? Just a pity this information leaked of True Blue Aussie's contribution in September as the Asian Development Bank debated a ban on investing in new coal-fired generation. True Blue Aussie's board member, Anthony McDonald, speaking for all of us, warned it was wishful thinking that coal use would decline. It was unreasonable, he spoke for ScoMo and for all of us, to expect countries to sacrifice their development to meet emissions reductions when coal, gas, large hydro and nuclear comprise so much of energy generation. And as our Pacific neighbours still complained, Anthony said it was wrong to assume all coal-fired power generation was high emissions. Apparently he's streets ahead of us, knowing what's ahead in the Technology Not Taxes department. Sadly for our national interest, the ban was carried despite True Blue Aussie's most reasonable arguments. As consumers of fruit and vegetables, let's all get behind this campaign by farmers and growers to keep prices down for all of us. Farmers defending us against lazy avaricious workers, like ScoMo defending us against a calumny against him personally, on all our behalves, or defending us against climate vandals who would have us act before some Martian or man on the moon turns up with the inevitable Technology Not Taxes solution. You might be sceptical, our big Supremo looked frustrated, but we will accept a solution from wherever that solution comes. But food. This national economy destroying decision that fruit and vegetable pickers must receive the minimum wage of $25 an hour. $25 an hour. How can the economy afford that? Well, quite simply, it can't. As Mark King hit the workers, chair of Dried Fruits True Blue Aussie, gasped, shocking, this will cause labour costs to climb. And we will all pay as prices increase, showing their concern for all of us. Well, except for the not all of us lazy avaricious workers ripping them off. Lazy avaricious workers who want to send our costs of living soaring or climbing, to quote Mark. And I hope no one thinks if $25 is the minimum rate and paying it will send wage costs soaring, does that mean, no, surely not, mean workers are being severely underpaid, that Mark and his lot are ripping them off? No, as Mark pointed out, paying them wages would mean they wouldn't have an incentive to work harder for the less they now earn, showing how lazy, lazy Aboriginal workers are. And guest workers brought in primarily from the Pacific, where we're already doing so much for their environment, have lots of costs extracted by their caring labour hire sponsor, little matters like accommodation in a friendly social environment with lots of other workers, travel, water. Still, at the end of the week, there's more often than not a little something left over to put in their pockets. And the government helps them get that little bit by putting up signs warning them of the dire consequences of complaining about their working and living conditions. Deportation. Thankless, lazy, avaricious workers. In fairness, the super-efficient labour hire caring employers also rip off the farmers. Win-win. Get it coming and going. And talk about selective diversions. The evil union, the AWU, now there's an evil union if ever we saw one, produced an example where a German backpacker received a whopping $3 an hour for a day's work. Now, I'm being cynical there, that isn't a lot, but all I can say is, pull your German finger out. And given the ridiculously high prices people pay for fruit and veggies from the big supermarket duo compared to Vic Market, for instance, the greed of these workers wanting the minimum wage and making those prices even higher is compounded. Well, back in Glasgow, ScoMo also had an audience, as they call it, with our future His Most Gracious Majesty Big Ears, whose job is Prince. "Wonderful to see you again," Scummo said, and we'd be surprised if the feeling was mutual, even allowing for Big Ear's inbred problems. "I know you have a great affection for the Pacific," our man said. "Absolutely, it's that southern bit of my family's empire, isn't it?" Serious and vital political debate, like any Socialist Party polly who as much as looked sideways must resign immediately, has been led by the man even the Lord Rupert of Wapping Sin described as the state-caring business-class party attack dog, Tim Smitethem, who had a few drinks with friends, or maybe a couple of wines, or maybe a lot of wines. Well, understandably, he can't quite remember the facts. After all, he blew a breathalyzer to smithereens, or is that smithereens? Anyway, Tim is aware that that is nothing compared to a socialist looking sideways as he attack-dogged himself. "Does one error mean a career is over forever?" No, not in every case, Tim, but... Oh, look, let's give him a little award to ease his pain. Tim, your "It Couldn't Happen to a Nicer" award is on its way. Over in the US of footballer brackets temporary, Jordan DeGoey Nowhere, has hired the same apparently high-powered lawyer who represented serial sex sleaze Harvey Weinstein. And although Jordan is a reasonably good footballer, albeit I think overrated, I suspect, well, his record shows, he's not too talented in the brain department, because someone should point out to him, Weinstein is doing life. Finally, just because poor Jeff Bezos is one of the world's richest, if not the world's richest, doesn't mean lazy, avaricious workers aren't ripping him off. As post-pandemic changes in the workforce have meant, he has to provide the thousands to whose lives he gives meaning day after day, night after night, with that most crippling work practice of all, wages. These selfish workers may prevent Jeff from saving the planet from climate change, if there is such a thing, as his profits plunge to a mere several trillion, and he tries to save us by establishing a mixed-use business park in space to be called Orbital Reef. What a practical, practical, altruistic man, seeing the writing on the wall for planet Earth and saving us by giving us another planet to stuff up. Exposing, like for the poor fruit and veggie growers, the massive problems the sleepless, tossing and turning nights workers pose for their caring employers. Good morning.